The song of invitation after the study this morning will be number 319. Number 319. It's good to see everyone present with us. We thank you for joining us this morning. And you are our most honored guest if you're visiting with us. We want to thank you very much. You are an encouragement to us, and we hope that the things that we talk about, that we discuss from the Word of God this morning, will be not only interesting to you, but most importantly, edifying, that they will be instructive. And the things that we study this morning will also be applied to our lives. That, of course, goes for each and every one of us. We hope and we pray that as we examine the Word of God, that it will affect us practically and daily. So, I don't know of anything more practical than study of the subject of walking with God. Not just on Sunday, but every day of our life. Living a life that is pleasing and glorifying to our God. Walking with God. How do we do that? What does it mean to walk with God? What does that mean? We hear that a lot. What does it mean? Well, I want us to all understand this morning that we can walk with God. We can walk with God. And now the question, are we walking with God? Are we really walking with God? I want us to understand, and very seriously, I want us all to consider the reality that many people think they're walking with God when they're not. We're going to see some examples of that this morning in our study. But just because we think we're walking with God doesn't mean we are. Just because we claim to be walking with God doesn't mean we are. Are we truly walking with God according to the scriptural teaching? What if we are walking with God? What are the benefits of that? What if we're not? What are the consequences? Well, first of all, I want us to think about Enoch. We talked a little bit about Enoch in our Bible study this morning. Genesis chapter 5 and verses 22 through 24, we read about Enoch. And there's not a whole lot in the Bible said about this man, but we are told that Enoch walked with God 300 years. After he begot Methuselah, he walked with God for 300 years. You know, that's a long time for somebody to walk with God, especially when we understand that living a life of sin, practicing sin, that means you're not walking with God. So Enoch walked 300 years with God. It's a long time to be faithful to the Lord. Verse 24 says, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Enoch was a faithful man. We'll see a little bit more in a moment from Hebrews chapter 11 about Enoch. Noah is said to walk with God, to have walked with God in Genesis 6 and verse 9. This is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God. Now he did this contrary to the way everybody else in the world was living at that time, right? As God looked down from heaven, he saw that every thought and intent of man's heart was evil continually, only evil continually. Not Noah. Noah was a man who was perfect in his generation. He was a man that was just. He was righteous before God. Noah walked with God. In Hosea chapter 11 verse 12, Hosea, writing to the northern tribes of Israel, you know, the apostates, those who left the Lord under the leadership of Jeroboam during the reign of Rehoboam in Judah. The northern tribes separated themselves from Judah. And it's interesting, we pointed out also in class this morning, that every king of the northern tribes, every single one, is spoken of as being evil, wicked. Not a good king among them. You know why? Because none of them led them back to the Lord. They all remained separated from Judah and away from God's temple and away from God's law. Now Jeroboam did establish, priests. He established a priesthood, but it wasn't the Levitical priesthood. He did provide places to worship, but it wasn't in God's prescribed place for worship. He had set up altars in Dan and Bethel. But God was not pleased with that. And Hosea is writing to this northern tribe. In fact, he's writing during the reign of Hezekiah, Uzziah, some of the good kings of Judah. But he's writing to the northern tribes. He says, Ephraim has encircled me with lies. That me there is God. Ephraim has encircled God with lies, and the house of Israel with deceit. But Judah still walks with God. During the reign of those kings, they were still faithful to the Lord. Judah still walked with God. What does it mean to walk with God? W.E. Vines, his complete expository dictionary of Old and New Testament words, says this phrase, walk with God, the pious followed or practiced God's commands. They walked in righteousness, Isaiah 33:15, in humility, Micah 6:8, and that is, they submitted to God's commands. And with integrity, they were genuine, sincere. Psalm 15:2, they also walk with God, Genesis 5:22, Enoch. And they live in his presence and walk before him, Genesis 17:1, in the sense of living responsibly before him. They lived in obedience to God's will because they believed God. They trusted God. That's why they lived faithful lives. They trusted in Yahweh. Think about Enoch for just a moment. We're not told a lot about Enoch except the fact that he walked with God and he was not, for God took him. We are told in Hebrews 11:5 that Enoch, by faith, was translated so that he would not see death. Enoch, by faith. Enoch lived a certain life, a certain way of life. Enoch lived a life in which he submitted his will to God's will. He followed God. He obeyed God. That's what it means to walk with God. That's the kind of life that Enoch lived. Enoch lived in a way that he pleased God. Hebrews 11:6 says it's impossible to please him, God, without faith. For whosoever cometh to God must believe that he is, and is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Now, that's what faith believes. That's what faith understands. And that's what faith does. Faith trusts. Faith trusts unreservedly. It simply sees the one in whom it trusts as the one who can do no wrong. It trusts. It understands will protect and provide and reward. Trust obeys. Thank you, Cameron, for leading that song before the lesson. Trust and obey. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, that's what it means to walk with God. Enoch walked, or he lived in a way that was pleasing to God, and he did so by faith. Amos 3:3 is also an interesting passage. Can two walk together unless they are agreed? Can two walk together unless they are agreed? Well, that's a rhetorical question. The answer is obviously no. Two cannot walk together unless they are agreed. Not in harmony, not in fellowship. Agreement is necessary for one to walk with God. You must be in agreement with God. God must be in agreement with you. No, I want you to notice this. This is a very important point. My agreement with God and God's agreement with me is not on the basis of compromise. Okay? Listen, I don't accept just some of what God says and say, okay, God, I'll accept this. You're going to have to meet me in the middle here, and you're going to have to accept some of my views and my ways too. Doesn't work that way, does it? You know, it's kind of like God's on the high ground, I'm on the low ground. He's taking the high road, I'm taking the low road. And I say, okay, God, look, let's meet in the middle somewhere and let's walk on the middle road. You come down to me and I'll come up to you a little bit and we'll meet together. That ain't the way it works with God, ladies and gentlemen. God is holy. And he's not going to defile himself and come down to my level. He's not going to compromise the truth and accept what I want. It doesn't work that way.
I must accept His way. I must agree with and walk in God's revealed way if I'm going to be pleasing to God. If I'm going to walk with God, I must walk where He is. I must walk in the light as He is in the light, 1 John 1 and verse 5. It doesn't work in the sense of compromising. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 13. Deuteronomy, chapter 13, beginning in verse 4, in the regiving of the law, something that is spoken here regarding the children of Israel, Deuteronomy 13 and verse 4 says, "You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear Him and keep His commandments and obey His voice. You shall serve Him and hold fast to Him." That's what it means to walk with God. Noah walked with God, as we've already seen. Noah was a just man, perfect in all his generations. Noah walked by faith, according to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7. Noah walked by faith. In fact, the scripture says, "By faith Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith." Noah believed God. Noah accepted something that God said that by all right was impossible. It never happened before. It was something that was unprecedented. "God, you're telling me you're going to flood this world and kill everybody on this planet?" You know, sometimes what God decides to do, what God says, is not always in harmony with my wants, my desires, my think-sos, or my understanding. What God says, what God does, I may not agree with. I wonder what Noah thought about God's instruction, build an ark because I'm fixing to destroy the world. I'm going to destroy everybody. And you know, Noah knew some of those folks. His circle of life was not just confined to those eight people, him included, that were saved on that ark. I'm sure he had some friends. I'm sure that he had some people, at least, that he was associated with, family, besides his immediate family. And Noah believed that God was going to do what he said. Noah believed that God was going to flood the earth, so much so that he began to obey God in building that ark. And he built it. In fact, in verse 39 of Hebrews chapter 11, we kind of had this summation about all those individuals listed. The Hall of Fame of Faith of Hebrews the 11th chapter in verse 39. It says, "And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise." Now, that promise, and being the promise of the resurrection of everlasting life, the promise of all these people involved, there were promises not on the earth that they were looking forward to, or that they looked down the road and saw these promises being fulfilled later down the road. They looked forward to the promises of God from a spiritual perspective. As you go back to chapter 11 and you begin looking in verse 13, "These all died in faith, having not received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth." And they were looking for a homeland. "Declare plainly that they seek a homeland, and truly if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is a heavenly country." And they, like all of us, are awaiting the resurrection that is going to take place in the future. They're looking for that eternal home. And that is seen through faith. But Noah walked by faith. He feared God. He believed God's warning, and he obeyed God. Noah did according to all that God commanded him. You go back to Genesis chapter 6 and verse 22. After God had given the instructions regarding the ark, this is how long, how tall, how wide, how many floors or stories, and all the animals that you're to put in it, and all the things that you're to do. It says in verse 22, and thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him. You know what? We can take from that particular point, and we can know exactly how big the ark was. We can know how long it was, how tall it was, how many stories it had. It had three stories, had one door, had one window. We know how big it was. Why do we know that? Because we're told that Noah did everything God commanded him to do. That means he followed God's instructions. There's a lesson in that for us too. If we want to walk with God, we have to follow his instructions as they are given, by the way. Noah couldn't have made the boat longer. Noah couldn't have sat down on a stump and reasoned, you know, I love all the animals. And this two by two and this limited number of animals on the ark. Now, other human beings, the way they treated me, that's fine. I don't care about them so much. But listen, these animals, they're innocent. And I want to save them all, so I'm going to build the ark bigger. Would he have been obedient to God? I mentioned before, you know, skunks stink. What if he decided to build a skunk boat, separate and apart, you know, load it up with skunks? Pretty smart thinking, right? But it wouldn't have been obedience to God. Noah had to do what God said, the way God said to do it, no more and no less. Regardless of what I wanted, I'd have had to obey God just like Noah did. And you know what? It's still true today. Regardless of what I want or how I feel, I must obey God. I must obey God the way he has told me to obey him. In fact, we may think, well, you know, that was back then. That was a long time ago. Some may say, well, that was under the law. No, it wasn't under the law. That created the law. Okay, long time. I want you to understand something. What was true of God back then is true of God today. God is still God. He is still the same God. And let me throw something else at you. If you think for a second that God is going to overlook and he's going to allow you to be rebellious and treasonous against his son, Jesus Christ, the one who died for you, and you're going to be able to get away with it, you've got another thing coming. Hebrews, the 10th chapter, beginning in verse 26, makes it very clear. Those who broke God's law under the old law, under the Mosaic law, they died at the hands of two or three witnesses. How much worse punishment do you suppose will be thought worthy of those who have trodden underfoot the Son who sanctified them, the blood of Jesus Christ which sanctified them, and the Spirit of grace? How much more or how much worse do you suppose will be thought worthy that they be punished? That's why the Hebrew writer went ahead and he made the point in Hebrews 11 and verse 30. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Ladies and gentlemen, that's still true today. We must obey God's instructions as given. Let me make this other point real quick and I'll move on. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Grace was prevalent and available back then. Grace is God's unmerited favor of saving man. In this case, Noah. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. But in order for him to be saved by God's grace, Noah had to build that ark the way God told him to build it. And when he'd done everything that God commanded him to do, he was still saved by the unmerited favor, grace of God. We too must obey God, and we are under grace, no doubt about it. The unmerited favor of God is manifested in Jesus, without whom we could be saved. We are in the age of grace, the gospel of grace. And it is a message of forgiveness. It is a message of hope. And we must comply, however, with the Lord Jesus Christ. We must submit our will to His that we may receive what has been provided so graciously by God through Him. We must obey God's instructions. Judah walked with God, Hosea 11 verse 12. And as I already mentioned, Ephraim or Israel, northern tribes, they'd fallen away. Judah at that point still walked with God. They still obeyed God. Hosea prophesied in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah. Ahaz is the only bad king of that bunch. They were still faithful to God's commandments. 2 Kings 18, verses 4 through 6, we see Hezekiah as he is faithfully serving the Lord, and how he had torn down the altars of Baal. He had returned Judah back to faithful service to the Lord. Hezekiah was a great king in Judah. They walked with the Lord because they followed His commandments. 2 Kings 18, 4 through 6. We must remain faithful to God. Now, Judah later fell away. They also were carried into captivity. Israel had already been taken into captivity. They were about to be taken into captivity, rather, I should say, when Hosea was prophesying. They were about to be taken into captivity. Now, Judah lasted much longer. Eventually, they were carried away into Babylonian captivity. So we must continue to walk with God. So what does it mean to walk with God? It means that we trust God enough to submit to His authority, to His will. As we trust Him and obey Him, we're walking with Him. We're pleasing to Him. We please Him by faith. We please Him by faith when we diligently seek Him. Hebrews 11 and verse 6. Just like all those individuals in Hebrews the 11th chapter. You have Abel, who offered his sacrifice by faith. Cain was rejected. You have Enoch, who was translated by faith. You have Noah, who built the ark by faith. You have Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph. You have all those mentioned who were faithful to the Lord, Moses and the children of Israel, as they were delivered from Egyptian bondage and they crossed the Red Sea by faith. And then the walls of Jericho fell by faith when the children of Israel encompassed the city and marched around it for 6 days, and on the seventh day marched around it seven times. The walls fell by faith. We must trust God enough to do what He says. That's faith. That is faith. Now, walking with God is to walk different than most people in the world. That was true with Enoch. That was true with Noah. Ladies and gentlemen, that's true with us today. We must walk different than the world walks. We must be different than the world. We are to be holy. As 1 John 5 and verse 19 says, we are the holy one, but the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. Only those who actually follow God's revealed will are those who walk with God. Mere profession doesn't make it so. I want you to think about the statement of Jesus in Matthew 7, verse 21. Jesus says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father, which is in heaven. For many will say unto me that day, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Have we not cast out demons in your name? Have we not done many wonderful works in your name? And Jesus will profess to them, Depart from me, you workers of iniquity, for I never knew you. Workers of iniquity. By the way, iniquity is lawlessness. Those who do not follow God's instructions are lawless people. That's what sin is. And that's why Paul says in Romans 6 and verse 1, shall we continue in sin? That's lawlessness. Can we continue in sin so that grace may abound? God forbid. How can we who have died to sin live any longer in it? In lawlessness. We must obey the Lord. Verse 16 of Romans chapter 6, ye are the servants to whomsoever you yield yourselves servants to obey. That's Paul saying that. Ye are the servants to whomsoever you yield yourselves servants to obey, whether sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. Romans 6, 16 through 18. Those who actually follow God's will are those who actually walk with Him. Luke 6 and verse 46, Jesus says, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? To walk with God, we must do what He says. Now, we can walk with God, just like Enoch did, and Noah and Judah, and also, by the way, Zacharias and Elizabeth, they're spoken of as walking with God too. They kept the commandments. They were blameless before the Lord. We too can do that. You know, sometimes we think of these biblical heroes as people with special powers or something. They're super Bible heroes that we just can't measure up to. We can't be like them. Oh, no, we can't be like Noah. It's true we're not Noah. It's true we're not Abraham. It's true we're not Moses. We're not Elijah. I understand that. They were their own person. But what these all demonstrated is that we can be like them when it comes to our faith. We can have our own faith and we can trust the Lord just like they did. We can obey the Lord just like they did. They didn't have some super faith power that we can't have. They were men and women just like us. Mary, the mother of Jesus, was a woman, a godly woman. She wasn't some superhuman. She was like us. Enoch, Noah, and Judah walked with God. Judah walked with God. We can too. We can walk, and we must, by the way, walk in Christ. Now, before the law was given, they walked with God by following what He instructed them directly or previously, and it was passed down. They followed what God said. Then Moses comes along, gives the law. In order for those under the law to be walking with God, they had to keep that law and do what the law said. As the lawgiver Moses said in Deuteronomy 18 and verse 18, that God is going to raise up a prophet like unto me, that the people must hear in all things, and those who do not hear Him will be cut off from among their people. That's speaking of Jesus, right? Acts chapter 3, Acts chapter 7, Peter and Stephen both reference back to that passage and speak of that being Jesus. And so Matthew chapter 17 and verse 5, on the previous chart, I had this passage on there, Matthew 17 and verse 5, on the Mount of Transfiguration, the voice comes from heaven, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye Him. We must hear Jesus. We must follow Jesus. We must obey Jesus. Now, really, hearing Jesus, believing Jesus, obeying Jesus, if we do that, we're walking with Jesus. We're walking in Christ. In fact, Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6. In Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6, this is what the Apostle Paul there says. He says, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, that's the gospel, as you have been taught, abounding in it, what? The gospel, in the teaching, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Then he warns about the false teachers. But we are to walk in Christ. How do we do that? We abide in his teaching. We have been raised to walk in newness of life, Romans 6 and verse 4. We have been raised out of the death of sin, and we have been made alive in Christ Jesus. And having been made alive in Christ, we have a new life. We are now to walk in this newness of life. Now, what does this newness of life look like? Paul goes on and defines it in Romans chapter 6. He's already pointed out, can we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. We've died to sin. Now we must live for Christ. We are now slaves to righteousness, doing what is right, living a holy life. That's what the new life looks like. We must walk in the light. 1 John 1 and verse 5, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Then John says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of his son, Jesus Christ, cleanses us from all sin. Now, in order to be cleansed from our sin, what do we have to do? We have to walk in the light. What is the light? The light is the truth. The truth of God's word, 2 John 4. We walk in what the Lord has revealed. We walk in the light, in the truth. Just as God is truth, we must walk in truth. We have been instructed how we are to walk, that we may please God. 1 Thessalonians 4, 1 and 2, Paul tells the Thessalonians, they're in Thessalonica, to continue to walk with the Lord in a way that's pleasing to him. And how do you do that? You follow what they have been taught. Same thing in Philippians 1, 27, Colossians 1, 10. Paul's prayer in Colossians chapter 1 was that these brethren in Colossae come to a deep, full, complete understanding of the will of God, so that they may walk well-pleasing in his sight. Now listen, I can't be pleasing to the Lord if I don't know what the Lord has said, nor can I be pleasing to the Lord if I do not do what the Lord said. Of course, I can't do it if I don't know it. And that's Paul's prayer in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 10. We can walk with God. Question is, are we walking with God? We're walking with God if we're refusing to walk in sin. 1 Peter 4, 1 through 4. We've lived enough of our time in lewdness and licentiousness and lust and various desires, sinful pleasures. We've lived enough of our pastime, Peter says, in those things, like the Gentiles. We're not to walk like the Gentiles. We're to walk like Christ. We're to have the same mind as Christ, 1 Peter 4, verse 1. We're to view sin as Jesus views sin. And we are to cease walking in sin. Anyone who has died to sin, Peter says, has died also to sin. That's Paul's point in Romans chapter 6. If we are walking with God, we are refusing to walk in sin. My friend, you cannot walk in sin and walk with God at the same time. John's point in 1 John 3 and verse 9. One who is born of God cannot sin. The word born does not mean just a one-time act of the past. It is talking about one who is brought along and led about by. He is of God. You cannot be of God and at the same time live in sin. You can't do that. It's impossible. That's having that mindset of compromise again. We're bringing God down to our level and say, God, you got to walk with me while I live like I want to live. You're just going to have to accept me as I am, God. Doesn't work like that. We must accept God as he is. Anything less is a God after our own image. And we have really done a good job in the religious world of creating gods today, that idolatry hasn't stopped. We've made gods after our own imagination. We've made God like unto us, a God who approves of us as we are and accepts us as we are, instead of seeking out the God of the Bible, the God who created us. We make God in our own image, just like Paul said in Romans chapter 1. If we're walking with God, we're refusing to walk in sin. We're walking in the fear of the Lord. We reverence Him. We respect Him. And the only way to demonstrate our honor to God is to obey God. Because disobedience is dishonoring to God. We all understand that principle. How can I honor God as I disobey Him? I can't. Just like your children cannot honor you by disobeying you. Their disobedience to your instruction is dishonoring to your authority. Are we walking in the fear of the Lord? Are we reverencing Him, respecting His authority and His word? Walking in obedience. Elizabeth and Zacharias, parents of John the Baptizer, they walked with God. By keeping His commandments, by observing the law. They were blameless in reference to the law. Much like the Apostle Paul. It doesn't mean he never sinned or they had never sinned. It means that they were striving to follow God's will. And they did so by faith because they trusted the Lord. We are walking with God if we are walking in the steps of the faith of Abraham. Back to Romans again, Romans chapter 4 this time. Romans chapter 4 and verses 1 through 3 point out very clearly that Abraham was not justified by works. The word works, as the Apostle Paul uses it in Romans chapter 4, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, have reference to that of meritorious achievement. Abraham was not right before God because he deserved it. Abraham was not right before God, specifically in Romans chapter 4, because he had perfectly kept the law. In fact, the whole purpose for Abraham as the illustration is to point out that he was righteous before the law was ever even given. Therefore, it was not by the law of Moses that man can become righteous. It's not by law, but by faith. Law demands perfection. Faith demands trust. What kind of trust? A submissive, obedient trust for sure. But it's not relying upon sinless perfection. It's not relying upon deserving. And so Abraham is a great example of that. Abraham didn't deserve to be right before God. But he trusted God. He was justified by faith. Hebrews 11, or Genesis chapter 15 and verse 6. Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. Now, what did Abraham's faith look like? What kind of faith did Abraham have? That's the kind of faith we must have. What kind of faith did Abraham have? Abraham, I want you to leave your homeland. I want you to go to a place that I'll show you. What did Abraham do? He moved. Abraham, I want you to circumcise yourself and your household in view of a promise that I've made with you that is naturally impossible. Abraham circumcised himself and his household. Abraham, I want you to carry your son, the son of promise, to a mountain that I will show you. And I want you to offer him to me as a sacrifice. Genesis 22. Abraham did it. That's the kind of faith Abraham had. And Romans chapter 4 and verse 12, as Paul's going through that text, he says regarding the Gentiles that if we walk according to the steps of the faith of our father Abraham, we too will be blessed like he was blessed. That's the kind of faith we must have. You want to walk with God? You must have the kind of faith that Abraham had. What kind of faith did Abraham have? A faith that obeyed God. We are walking according to the law of the Spirit, Galatians 5 and verse 16. If we walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. But to walk in the Spirit means that I am to take the attitudes, the dispositions, the instructions of the Spirit and follow them. Romans chapter 8 verses 1 through 5. We're to walk according to the law of the Spirit, Romans 8 and verse 2. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not according to the flesh. By the way, that has more of a reference, or the context demands us to understand that to be specifically the Jewish heritage and lineage and law concept, not walking according to that, but of the Spirit, that is the gospel and the offering of salvation in Christ. So we are not walking according to the law of the flesh, but according to the law of the Spirit. We are led by the Spirit. The Spirit has revealed God's truth to us. It's in His Word. It's in the gospel. It was revealed to the apostles and prophets, Ephesians chapter 3 and verses 3 through 5. Paul says that the things that he wrote, he got from the Holy Spirit, and he wrote them so that we could understand his knowledge in the mystery of Christ. So when we walk according to the teaching, the revelation of the Spirit, to the leading of the Spirit, we walk with God. We are walking in love. If we are walking in love, we are walking with God. Love is defined by Scripture. And we're commanded to walk in love. My friend, you cannot walk contrary to love and walk with God. An unloving person cannot walk with God. A person who is walking with God is seeking to please God. You're seeking to please God according to what God says, not according to your own dictates, not what you want. But you're wanting to know what God says, and you're wanting to do what God says because you want to please God. That's what it means to walk with God. You're wanting to submit and to follow Him, to please Him. By the way, if we're walking by what God says, that's faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10, 17. So if I'm walking by what God says, that means I am walking by faith. To walk by what He hasn't said is not walking by faith. It's walking by presupposition. It's walking by assumption. It's walking by theory. It's not walking by faith, because walking by faith means we walk by what God says. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Again, Romans 10, 17. Colossians 4 and verse 5 speaks of us needing to walk in wisdom towards those who are outside. How do we walk in wisdom towards those who are outside? Jude in verses 14 and 15 speak of Enoch. Enoch was a prophet, the seventh from Adam. And what did Enoch prophesy? He said that the Lord is going to return with His angels in judgment. Enoch was warning his contemporaries that God's fixing to judge you. You better get right with the Lord. That's what Enoch was doing. Walking in wisdom towards those who are outside. That's outside the body of Christ. With those who are in the world. Yes, we need to be careful, walk in meekness, be harmless as doves, wise as serpents. We need to be careful and think about how we say what we say and do what we do with those who are in the world. We always need to provide a positive, godly example. All those things are true. But also walking in wisdom, we need to understand, contains this aspect of teaching them, sharing the gospel with them. Helping them to, and directing them to know the Lord. We want others to walk with God too. Are we walking with God, seeking to please Him by doing what He says? By the way, 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly equipped for every good work. God's told us everything He wants us to know. Everything He wants us to do, everything He demands of us is found in the Scripture. Are we following that? We are not walking with God if we're outside of Christ. Ephesians 2, 12 and 13. They are aliens, enemies of God. Those who are outside of Christ are separated from God. Those who are outside of Christ need to get inside of Christ. Romans 6 and verse 3, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ are baptized into his death. Galatians 3 and verse 26, for ye are the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Those outside of Christ need to get into Christ so that we can walk with God. If we refuse to walk in the Lord's way, according to his instructions, according to his commandments, we are not walking with God. I want you to think about this. Jeremiah 6 and verse 16, Jeremiah says, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the way and see and ask for the old paths where the good way is, and walk therein, and you shall find rest for your souls. Verse 17 is the response that Jeremiah got. But they said, we will not walk therein. My friend, many have refused to walk in the ways of God. Historically, the majority of men have refused to walk in the ways of God. They've walked in the ways of men, the wide and broad way that leads to destruction, Matthew 7, 13 and 14. Romans chapter 2, verses 5 through 10, because of their obstinate, their hard heart, they reject the instructions of the Lord and they refuse to obey the Lord. 2 Thessalonians 1, 7 through 9, those of you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, there's Enoch's prophecy, isn't it? With his mighty angels taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who shall punish them with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. That is going to happen one of these days. Walk with the Lord. We're not walking with the Lord if we worship our way instead of God's way. Cain's an example of that. Leviticus chapter 10, the sons of Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, offered incense to the Lord. But he offered it with fire that God had not commanded them. In other words, they were walking by assumption. They did what they wanted instead of what God said. God told them where to get the fire from, off the altar. God started that fire. God said, get the fire from the altar. They got it from somewhere else that God had not commanded. But they were still worshiping the Lord, right? How do you know they weren't sincere? It was just because they weren't sincere. The Scripture doesn't say they were not sincere. The Scripture says they did what God had not commanded them to do. That's what it says. And so when they offered this profane fire, that's what the Scriptures call it, profane fire before the Lord, God sent fire from heaven and destroyed them. The message, I think, is very clear. We do not have liberty to worship God however we want to. We must worship Him His way. John 4 and verse 23, Jesus said, those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Sincerity is a part of it, absolutely. But also the prescribed way is important. It's necessary. Hebrews 12 and verse 28, we need to approach God with reverence and godly fear in our worship and our service. That's the New Testament. Now, we need to seek to please God. Those who seek to please themselves instead of seeking to please God are not walking with God. We must seek to please the Lord. What if we are walking with God? Well, God rewards the faithful. Enoch was translated that he did not see death. Noah and his family were saved from the flood. Judah, they were protected. As long as they walked with God, they were protected. In fact, during the reign of Hezekiah, remember his prayer was that the Assyrians not be allowed to come in and take them over like they had already destroyed the north. Hezekiah is praying to God for protection. God provides. God protected them. And God himself destroyed the Assyrian army. But when they rebelled, they were punished. They eventually fell. A remnant was brought back into the land. You can read about that in Ezra and Nehemiah. God rewards the faithful and punishes the wicked. Those who have by faith obeyed Christ have been translated from the kingdom of Satan into the kingdom of the Son of His love, the kingdom of Jesus Christ. We have become children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. We've been forgiven of our sins. We stand right before God, added to His church. And those in Christ are saved from sin, and we have that hope of everlasting life. God will save those who walk with Him. Are you walking with God? Hebrews 11 verse 6 again, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. For whosoever comes to God must believe that He is, and is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Walking with God includes the aspect of diligently seeking Him. It includes the aspect of trusting Him to the point that we submit to His commands. We follow His instructions. We do what He says because we trust Him. Are you walking with God this morning? Have you been baptized into Christ? Are you in Christ? If not, how can you walk with God if you're not in His Son? In that available realm of fellowship, all spiritual blessings are in Christ, Ephesians 1 and verse 3, including adoption, including our election, including our redemption and forgiveness of sins. It's all in Christ. If you want to have fellowship with God and walk with God, you must be cleansed of your sin. Be baptized into Christ. Be raised to walk then in newness of life, and then follow the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord. Submit to His authority. If you're here and we can help you in any way, please come while we stand.